希望能进中文的话，你可以用这个进入到这个有一个 phone number dial into that，我们有一个中文翻译。
Peace, brothers and sisters. Peace to you from. Am I on? I am on. Okay, good. So happy to be here this morning and to worship with you in spirit and in truth. I feel right at home. And I have been worshiping in a Chinese congregation since 2008, 2009, something like that. And so to look out and see all black hair, I think, I'm right at home on Sunday morning. This is good. About 75 years ago, my aunt came to our house when I was about the age of some of the kids here. You can do the math on all of that, but anyway, she had just come from China. She was a missionary. Her name was Carolyn Winslow. She knew James Hudson Taylor and his whole family. She had what we would call a nervous breakdown or a nervous collapse, a break with reality. We didn't know that as kids. She came to heal up in our home. She brought her two sons with her. Her husband had died. She escaped the Sino-Japanese War by draping the American flag over her body. She was so close to death so many times. And she came and told these glowing stories about China. China, China. Wonderful China. Wonderful place. Wonderful people. And I remember as a kid thinking, wow. Only I didn't say, wow, then. I said, wow. So that was my first impression of China, Chinese people, and the gospel going to them. I never got away from that. And so in recent years, God has really brought that full circle. And here I am today. What a wonderful group of people. This is just great. Where's Pastor Chin? Yeah, got a wonderful congregation. Must be difficult for you to leave. Such a beautiful, beautiful group of people. Happy to be here. I bring you greetings from the First Chinese Free Methodist Church on the far east side of Indianapolis. We pray for you often. We pray for the Carmel Church. We pray for the fellowship down on the south side, the campus ministries. So we're all connected, trying to bring Chinese people to Jesus Christ in a saving relationship, in a life-transforming experience with the Savior of the world. So we're partners together in ministry, and it's a delight to be here. After listening to Guamin and his introduction, I think we need to pray. I think we need to pray, one, for him giving a too flowery introduction, and then pray for me for enjoying it. Introductions, you know, are like perfume. You smell it, but you don't drink it. So thank you, Guamin, for your kind remarks. Now, I've had a variety of experiences in life. Missionary in Africa, got shot out of there, literally. Youth pastor, pastor of churches, overseer of churches in Kansas and Nebraska. Publisher, church planter of a Chinese church. What I really enjoy the most is being a pastor to people, a shepherd. So when I came to this time this morning and prayed, what would God want me to say? I thought, I don't feel comfortable giving a lecture on church planting or giving some treatise or whatever on what it means to be a Christian. And I have felt led to simply speak about a topic from the Word that I think is very, very important for us today. And it's finding peace in an age of anger. Or how can I get rid of anger and resentment? There are all kinds of anger. There's righteous anger, where Jesus cleansed the temple. He didn't like what was going on there. So he just cleaned everything up, turned the tables of the money changers over, and we remember that story to this day as an indelible image of God's anger against sin and unrighteousness. God got angry in the Old Testament many times. Read it carefully. You'll find it's there. It's Cain, Moses, Aaron, David, Saul, Abner, Ahab, Nahum, Elisha, Uzziah, Asa, Nehemiah, Jonah. Yeah, the list goes on. David in the Psalms, you know, he got angry. And at times he would say, God, you know, wipe those guys out. Take their arms and legs off. I'm done with them. Who said, David? Yeah, David, the man after God's own heart. I am coming to the conclusion more and more, the older I get, that one of the most destructive emotions of modern man is anger. I said that to a doctor friend of mine not long ago, lives up in Pendleton. I said, you know, anger is the most destructive emotion in our culture today. And he said, I see the results of that in my office day after day after day. Patients come in and they have a major problem with anger. A Duke University study says anger is the leading cause of physical illness. October 97 Archives of Internal Medicine. Another study shows that men who score highest on hostility standards are four times more likely to die prematurely. That catches us in our tracks and causes us to stop and think. I used to believe that anger was a male problem, just men. Men get angry. I no longer believe that. I see it so many times in so many places. Anger is a male and a female problem. And we see the rise of anger in the female population, galloping increase because of sexual abuse, domestic violence, along with the evaporated dreams of the women's liberation movement, has left millions of women battling deep, deep, unresolved anger. Maybe some here this morning. Happened early in your life. Parental anger, relatives, bosses. And you know, that's not just in a culture of America, but I think that it resides as well in a shame-based culture. Hidden, quiet, kept under the wraps, so to speak, but there nonetheless, and it affects our lives. Our country is angry. I'm speaking to a group this morning that I think that you probably keep track of the news of what's going on in America. Road rage. I-465 last year, 2023. 51 shootings on the highway. That's one per week. 18 people killed. You can't listen to the evening news. You can't pick up the morning newspaper. You can't watch the news on the internet. But what you catch story after story after story of murder, violence, fights. It may be Ukraine. Maybe anywhere in the world. It may be, yes, next door. And we have watched the stories where the people say, I never thought it would happen in my neighborhood. In this neighborhood? Surely not. The results of anger are everywhere to be seen. And we just are so saddened by that. Anger is usually a result of unfulfilled expectations. We expect something to go the way we want it to go, and it doesn't go that way. And we get angry. That so easily happens. Early in our marriage, I should back up and say, my wife's father, was a professional chef in the Army, and he cooked for the American Legion. He had a restaurant. He knew how to cook. My wife's mother, my mother-in-law, she was an excellent, excellent cook. In fact, she knew when I was dating Anne, she knew that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And so she would often say, John, come over and have dinner with us. Well, of course, she wanted me to hook up with her daughter. And so I was raised with those kinds of expectations. I was a pastor, fresh out of seminary. And I don't know what was wrong with me. But Anne, she cooked my breakfast and she burned my eggs. How do you burn eggs? I mean, they were black on the bottom. And I was so ticked off at her. I was really angry. And I got in the car and we had a gravel driveway, you know, little loose stones. And I just spread those stones all across the front yard of our house. And where did I go? I went to church, of all places. I got to church and I thought, something's really wrong. Broken, false, unfulfilled expectation. I thought that I should have my eggs cooked by somebody who knew how to cook eggs. No longer a problem. She cooks eggs fine. Any way she cooks them is fine by me. But anger often comes from unfulfilled expectations. What do we do with anger? Well, the Bible says holiness is the right response. Proverbs 14, 16, and 17. A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. A quick-tempered man does foolish things. A quick-tempered woman does foolish things. That's the latest translation. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Better a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. I may be speaking to some men this morning that have a problem with anger. Your children know it. Your wife knows it. And it pops up at the most inappropriate time. Ephesians 4:26, Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Unresolved anger results in all kinds of difficulties in the home, in the community, in the culture, and in the world. Paul says, in anger, do not sin. A famous British guy by the name of William Wilberforce, he said, we got to end the slave trade. And he set about in his anger against the slave trade and brought an end to slavery as it was known back then. Moses, he was angry that his people were held in bondage and slavery. And that anger was turned into a constructive answer of yes to the call of God and trips to Pharaoh, courage, perseverance, and he let his people out. However, later on, anger kept Moses from going into the promised land. He there stood there on Mount Nebo and looked into the promised land, but God said, sorry, you can't go there. Small amounts of anger are okay. But anger is one letter shy of danger. Just add a D and you have danger. I'm talking this morning about the anger that stems from sin. That sin can be committed against us or anger that we commit against others. There's anger that burns deep down inside, underneath. The anger that causes damaged relationships and great shame. The anger that produces pain, decades of guilt, and emotional scars. Every family, I think, most families, have secrets. Many of them are traced to anger or sin of some kind. Anger often, unless it's righteous anger, gives God a bad reputation, and it gives Christians a bad reputation, gives the church a bad reputation. I'm convinced that anger and its first cousin, bitterness, are the greatest hindrances to spiritual growth in the life of the church, families, and individuals. Colossians 3:8, Paul writes, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. You must rid yourselves, get rid of all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Well, that has to happen in the heart. Because from the heart, the mouth speaks. And so our heart's got to be cleansed and made right through the work of the Holy Spirit, through forgiveness, through reconciliation, the acceptance of grace. What do they call it in Chinese? Indian? God's grace that just overwhelms us, cleanses and purifies our lives. Think of anger as a smelly, dirty, sticky substance being shoved into an aerosol can. All kinds of memories and things from the past, a life surrounded by disappointments, unfulfilled expectations, fighting back, stuffed into an aerosol can, then pumped up with air, and on convenient times, press of the button, out comes the anger. And we may say, I don't know where that comes from. Well, it comes from the stuff that's stuffed in to the aerosol can of anger. We spray it on our children. We spray it on our spouse. We spray it on the church. Sometimes we spray it in church board meetings or family gatherings, like skunks when their security is threatened. They let out the odorness and they spray. How can I get rid of bitterness and anger and find peace in a day of intensely deep anger in our age and in our society? Well, I want to give you a couple tips that I think are helpful. This is a pastor speaking and also from personal experience. Number one, admit your problem. The blind man came to Jesus one day and said, Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Mark chapter 10, verse 51. The blind man simply said, I want to see. I want to see. Admitting our problem is the first step of getting a solution for anything. Same with anger. Oh, I'm a Christian. I don't get mad. Oh, really? We have to admit our issue and say, Lord, I'm this kind of person. I need cleanup on the inside. I need something done that will transform my life and change my life. I don't know how many videos we've looked at in house church. Every now and then, I'll just pull in like a 3 or 5 minute video to flash on the screen in our living room. It tells a story of a changed life. And there's all kinds of them out there. There's hundreds of them. Chinese or Chinese and English, but all Chinese people. And how often we have seen the scenes of the home where there was so much anger and where God came and transformed the life and the couple was reunited, joined together in harmony, faith, and ministry in the church. Paul Hegstrom, author of Angry Men and the Women Who Loved Them, tells of his memories of molestation that he had buried for decades. His childhood, emotional development was arrested at an early age. He just sort of stopped here, never really grew up. And he said, I dated Judy, my wife, and abused her in many ways. Married her one day later, he physically abused her, blamed his problems on his wife, and prayed. God hit her on the head with the 2x4. Separated, 3.5 years, divorced, went through a live-in wife, rejected authority, but finally, he admitted his problem. Now happily remarried for 15 years and a beautiful story of rebuilding two precious lives. Admit the problem. Number two, I've already alluded to it, and that's surrender your expectations. It may not be scrambled eggs for you or fried eggs or burned eggs or anything else. Maybe something else. You know, we husbands and wives, we tend to become, what should we call it, marital Michelangelos, where we take a chisel and a hammer and we say, well, if I can knock this rough edge off of my husband or my wife through manipulation or coercion or whatever, hey, if I can do this, what? Pretty soon, I'll have the perfect spouse. So we chisel on this time after time. Sometimes big blows, sometimes They call it nagging. But you know, we have to surrender our expectations and have God give people his expectations. And the change begins with us. You point a finger at somebody else, there's always three of them pointing back. So we surrender our expectations. When our expectations aren't met, we do a lot of things. One of which is shouting. Sometimes it's silence, you know. I read about Yoshiko Kato. He won a shouting contest in Japan, and he earned $750. He registered 115.8 on the decibel scale. And they said, how did you learn to shout this loud, this long, this much? He said, easy, from hollering at my kids. How sad. How terrible. Hollering at my kids. You know the story well from Genesis chapter 22. Abraham is called by God. He's given Isaac, you know, one son, 90 years old. Oh, my wife, she's 80. I'm 82. We don't have any children. And now we laugh about it because we say, well, what if Ann were to suddenly become pregnant? I think, wow, you talk about a change. Well, here's Abraham. He's 90, wife, and they have son Isaac. Wow. You know, they were happy as Christmas. And then God says, Abraham, I want you to take and offer your son Isaac as a sacrifice. God, you got to be kidding. Surely. You don't want me to do this? Yeah, I do. I thought you were going to make a great nation out of him, like as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And God says, no, take your son. Offer him as a sacrifice. You're going up the hill. Going to build the altar. Abraham says to the traveling companions, you stay back. I don't even want Job's comforters with me. You stay back. And Isaac and I are going to go the rest of the way alone. Dad, where's the sacrifice? We got the fire, we got the wood, we got the altar. Son, get on the altar. Brings the knife, just ready. Looks over, and there is a ram caught in the bushes. Abraham surrendered his expectations big time, big time. He could so easily have gotten angry with God. God, but you said. That can be so easily our phrase. God, but you said. He said, no. I'm going to surrender my expectations. Three, right your wrongs. Make your wrongs right. This is a biggie as well. You may have to do this to your offender. Sometimes a letter of confession or asking for forgiveness is better. I've advised wives or husbands more than once, hey, if you can't talk about it, write a letter. Leave it somewhere where they get it and you're not in the house so they can read it in silence and cool off a little bit before they see you again. But be humble, repent, be lowly before them. Right the wrongs. where there has been selfishness, where there's been grievances. Yeah. A boy called his estranged and abusive alcoholic dad. He was mad at his dad. Dad was an alcoholic confirmed for years. The boy, young man, angry at his father, angry, angry, angry. He called his father one day and said, "Dad, I love you." His dad had never heard him say that before. The next day, this alcoholic dad committed himself to a rehab center and recovered from his alcoholism. Making wrongs right has a way of diffusing anger and removing the chance for Satan to get a foothold or to remain and retain a foothold. Make a deliberate choice. Number four, take grace. Choose grace. Choose God's grace. God's grace is never in short supply. He's got plenty of it. He offers it freely. He never, never, that I can find in scripture, recorded history, or personal life, I can never find an instance where the prayer for grace was either unanswered or answered with a no. You can bank on that. God will give you grace. That's why Paul said, I have all kinds of problems. Could have been angry. But I've learned that grace overcomes any and every circumstance. And because of that grace, Paul says, I've learned to glory even in my infirmity. Be very careful, Hebrews 12:15. Be very careful that none of you fails to respond to God's grace. For if he does, there can very easily spring up in him a root of bitterness. Where does bitterness end? It doesn't. It's a root that keeps growing. So we have to find that way of grace. This is a great grace station. We come together. I assume you have small groups in your church fellowship. You have confidence. You have the ability to share together. I'm going to make a confession about my church. Not my church. It's not my church. Our church, and it's not our church. It's God's church. It's a Chinese fellowship on the east side of town. I'm an egg. I'm white on the outside, yellow on the inside. And I have found in the Chinese culture, as well as in the Near East culture, and also the African culture, that it's very easy in those kinds of shame-based cultures to hide everything, not admit anything, not share requests for prayer. Very difficult in a small group to say, I got a problem with anger, can you pray for me? Americans are a little bit better at that, but not much. You know, this finding God's grace. In the Methodist tradition, we're strong on grace. The grace that goes before and draws us to Christ. The sanctifying grace of God that enables us to live a holy life, so that the world looks on and doesn't say, well, they're just like everybody else. It's the sustaining grace of God that enables us to get through life. Grace, grace, marvelous grace, wonderful grace, precious grace. Make it a deliberate choice. Some people say, you know, I can't make a choice when it comes to anger. I just can't control it. Well, to use a theological term, hogwash. That's not true. Because let's say you're expecting a call from your boss about a raise. He said, I'll call this evening. But you and your wife get into a real argument. And boy, you're really going at it, and the decibels are going up and up and up. And up, and up. By the way, young couples especially, don't ever use the word divorce. That's an angry term in a marital conflict. So you're fighting away, the telephone rings. Hello, Mr. Smith, how are you this evening? Oh, yeah, we're just fine. Yeah, we can choose. It's been my observation over time how interesting it is that occasionally a couple will say, or family will say, the kids will say, you know, we were fighting like crazy on the way to church in the car. And 30 seconds between there and here just changed. Yeah, and we can choose. We can choose grace. Choose God's marvelous, available, always ample, always enough grace. So that's the choice that we must make. Number five. Pray it all the way through with a trusted friend. If you got a problem with anger, it's a deep issue. It's causing problems in the family, the home, the marriage, the kids, at work. Find a trusted same gender friend, spiritual counselor, and pray it through. Now that's an odd phrase. Pray it through. Pray it through what? Well, that's out of my background, I guess. I grew up in a Christian home and in a church where the phrase was often used. I've prayed it through. Or pray it through, brother. Pray it through, sister. When faced with obstacles, we pray and pray and pray until finally release, peace, ping-on comes. Pray it through. Surrender becomes complete. My sister was in the hospital. She was dying with peritonitis, complication of appendicitis. I was a little kid. 4 o'clock in the morning, they said, Mary is not going to make it through the night. Granted, this was quite a few years ago. And my dad found a broom closet in the hospital. Mops, dust mops, brooms, dust pans, trash bags. Found this little closet. He went in there and he prayed until 4 o'clock in the morning. And he said afterwards, he said, I prayed it through. And Mary lived. So when it comes to this anger, find a trusted counselor, friend, small group, another couple, whatever, to pray it through. Prevail in prayer. Great man of God, Wes Duell, wrote a book that thick, translated into 120 languages, sold millions of copies. Mighty Prevailing Prayer. Don't ever give up in prayer. Pray without ceasing. That's Paul's word. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Don't give up. Pray through. until God's peace and glory comes. Yeah, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another. James 5:16. Pray for one another that you might be healed. I don't come from a profession that you just get healing on demand and everything is about healing, healing, healing. But I know this is true. Pray for one another that you might be healed, even from anger. You can never deal with the root of anger. You need help of the Lord, prayer, counsel of godly people. Pray. 6. Trust in God's healing over time. Had a visiting scholar say to me a few days ago, so-and-so really doesn't want to become a Christian. PhD, doesn't want to become a Christian because of some of the comments that are made in social settings by someone else who says they're Christian. You ever hear that kind of thing happen? My response is, okay, you learned how to count, Yi, Er, Sun, Tzu. You learned how to walk and then run. Graduated from high school, college, and then you got your PhD. You didn't know as much back then as you do with the PhD. So let's grow together in Christ over time. There's no better illustration of this basic truth than Luke chapter 17. I love it. Verse 14. The 10 lepers came to Jesus and they were begging for healing. Jesus said, "You're healed." And then there's this phrase that tucks in there that gives us all hope, especially in finding peace in an angry world and avoiding bitterness and anger. Jesus said, "You're healed." And the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. As they went, obeying Jesus, healing. Healing is a process. We heal from the inside out. You cut your hand, it doesn't heal on the surface, a little scab, but it heals from the inside out, and then finally the red is gone and the normal tissue reappears. These steps will help you overcome a problem common to many Christians, finding peace in an angry world. Your anger this morning may be hidden from public view. It may fly daily below the radar of your family and friends. It may be out of control, maybe a family secret. Anger will destroy you just as rust destroys a car. It will keep you from meaningful relationships. It will stunt your ability and capacity to love and receive love. You will view God as a harsh taskmaster. There will be no deep peace and lasting joy in your life. You can try and fix it with all kinds of things, medicines like alcohol, or addictions, or illegitimate passions, or porn, or drugs, or even another person. But without God's healing, over time, bitterness will damage your home and eat your soul. It will destroy your relationships with God. It's no coincidence that Paul said, get rid of all bitterness and anger. I don't know if this is speaking to anyone this morning, but wherever anger comes from, It can be healed, restored, turned into something that glorifies God. Ann and I, we now laugh about burned eggs. Not back then. It didn't take long, really, because I went to church and I thought, what am I doing? Here I am. I'm a pastor. I'm sitting down in my study to study God's word, and I just left home spraying gravel all over our lawn because my wife didn't fulfill my expectations. Ann, will you forgive me? I had acted like a fool. Sure, Guanxi, strong. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise for your grace, your love, your patience, your goodness. Thank you that you have come. You've sent Jesus to the cross to take in his body all the sins of all the world, including the sin of anger, the root of bitterness and resentment. Father, we live in a broken world. We're reminded of it every day. Some of us live in broken homes, broken dreams, broken relationships. Precious Jesus, help us to seek and find the healing grace of God that will bind up the brokenhearted and bring relief to those suffering from the scourge, the results, the origin of anger, and give us peace. You've promised to give us peace that passes all human understanding, guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Father, give this congregation your peace as they bid farewell to their pastor who goes to study your word. Father, give this people peace, a sense of mission and purpose. Bless them abundantly. Hold them together. Give them a sense of mission and purpose in this world to bring the lost to Christ, regardless of the color of their skin or hair. Oh God, help us to see the fields that are white to harvest, where we can bring the message of healing and peace in this age in which we live. Father, thank you that you have sent your Son, who is our peace, and offers peace to all who trust in him. Father, if there's any one person here today who needs the grace, the peace, the forgiveness, the restoration that only Christ can offer, may this day be one of beginning, progress, continuing with you in your love. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.